Friends in Christ, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Again, the words of our Lord from Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 49. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. These are the words of our Savior. Please be seated. Well, a little girl was getting kind of upset at dinner one Sunday as her dad was describing in very violent terms all that had taken place in church that morning. He talked about the big gun who was up in the pulpit and how he was beating a dead horse. He said that the choir had murdered the anthem and that the organ had drowned the congregation. I don't think we have to worry about that here. I am certainly no big gun. Our choir is generally nonviolent, and our organists merely immerse us in the music of praise to our God. But it's understandable that this little girl was upset as her father described church with such violent metaphors, because church is supposed to be about peace. We come here for sanctuary, not for combat. So to come here and to hear Jesus say, I did not come to bring peace on earth, but division, and to bring that division into your own family, that's more than a little bit upsetting. To a large extent, our families are what make us who we are. Our families are where we learned right from wrong. Our families are where we developed our basic framework of how we look at life. And for many of us, our families are the first place we learned about Jesus Christ. Good, bad, or indifferent, our family ties are some of the most significant relationships that we have in this world. God set us into families, the Bible says. And since when, then, does the Son of God become a proponent of dividing families against each other? Three against two, son against father, and so forth. It would have made a whole lot more sense if Jesus had said, do you think that I've come to bring peace on earth? Well, yes, I have. I have come to bridge that chasm of silence between fathers and sons. I have come to heal the wounds of regrets that drive apart mothers and daughters. That's what we'd like this passage to say. But it doesn't say that. Like it or not, these are words of division. These are words about relationships that are stressed, and necessarily so. But let's be very clear about what kind of division we're talking about here. Our Lord is not talking about those small and large ruptures in the fabric of our families that occur when we sin against each other and offend one another. Perhaps you have some of those ruptures in your own family. Someone said something, did something, someone gave offense or took offense, and then they started cold shouldering each other, and then it went on for longer and longer, and we held grudges, and time passed, and our hearts hardened, and we refused to forgive, and the relationship just isn't what it should be. That kind of rupture is created by Satan, by the devil, who is always driving wedges between us, setting against us, against each other, for all the wrong reasons. That is not of Christ. And yes, Christ would seek to heal those kinds of ruptures. But in this passage, Jesus is talking not about that kind of division. He's talking about the division that He creates. When some members of the family are committed to Him, and other members of the family are not committed to Him. And it's a hard word for us to hear. And it doesn't sound like very good news. But it's not as though it's a new word from the Lord, or as though we've never heard this in the Gospels before. Remember the time when Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers came to visit the Lord, and they apparently couldn't get to him because the crowds were so large, and he was informed that his mother and his brothers were there to see him. And remember what he said, Luke chapter 8? He said, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice." So already Jesus is redefining family relationships. Already he's demonstrating in his own life the primacy of our relationship to God the Father over all other relationships, even over our family relationships. Jesus came to bring fire to this earth, to heat things up, to create some friction when the new creation that he has made rubs up against the old creation when his kingdom engages the old kingdom of this world. There will be fire in this world when we call sin, sin. There will be heat and friction when the light of our lives exposes the darkness of their lives. People will get hot under the collar when we call them to repentance and to faith in Christ. There will always be heat when we say to this world, "You cannot save yourself, but you are washed of your sins in the blood of Jesus Christ." The preaching of the cross of Christ is always going to make people's blood boil. And temperatures are going to rise when we contend for Christ that He is the only way to heaven and that all the other gods out there are false gods. Fire is inevitable when the new creation rubs up against the old. And it turns out that following Jesus Christ is not just about being nice and polite and minding your own business and living with a live and let live attitude. I'm afraid that that's what Christianity means to a lot of people. It's just be nice to each other. No, not necessarily. To follow Christ is, first of all, of course, to be redeemed by Him, by the blood that He shed, and to be set free from your sin, which is all forgiven at the cross of Christ, and then to be given an entirely new orientation in your life. We're no longer oriented downward toward the things of the earth. We're oriented this way, upward, to the things of heaven. To follow Jesus Christ is to be made entirely new again. To be recreated and conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And that will mean that your new life in this old world is going to be painful at times. Because the old just does not understand the new. They don't get you. They do not understand your new priorities, your new morals, your new ways of thinking and living and speaking. They do not comprehend your sanctified goals and ambitions and dreams. All they understand is that your goodness and your godliness makes them feel very uncomfortable when you're around, just as the darkness cannot abide the light. As the scriptures say, God divided light from darkness. And we feel that division, don't we? Or we ought to feel it in our lives. It is not easy to be new in an old world, especially when the friction between the new and the old is taking place right within your own family. We should go to church. No, we want to go to Cedar Point this Sunday. Honey, a little bit of modesty when you dress is a godly thing. But this is the way all the girls dress. We need to give a little more to church. Oh, but I've got plans for that money. Son, there is a commandment against what you're doing. Ah, Dad, don't be such an old fuddy-duddy. I wish you'd tame your tongue. Ah, nobody even thinks anything about that word anymore. Sweetheart, God has called you to higher things. I'll make my own way, thank you. Do you feel the friction when the new rubs up against the old? Can you sense the fire that Christ brings to this earth and to our families and our relationships? In effect, Christ is calling for a division of the house, we call it, in parliamentary procedure. When there's a large body of voting people, a vote is either taken usually by voice vote or nowadays by electronic vote, which is kind of anonymous. Nobody really knows how you voted. But then when somebody calls for a division of the house, now you are forced to stand up and to be counted and recognized for whatever position you have taken on the issue. If you're for something, now you have to stand up. And everybody knows that you're for it. Likewise, if you're against it. And that's what Christ is calling for in your life as His disciple. Are you for me? Then stand up and be recognized and be counted and be noticed so that everyone around you and especially your family knows where you stand. For our Lord said, "Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes again in his glory." And I know that's a word of law, hard-hitting law. And it induces feelings of guilt in myself as well. Because I think all of us know that we have not stood up for Jesus like we should have in every instance because we didn't want to create the friction. We didn't want to experience the division that he brings. It was safer. It was less costly to remain silent. Safer, that is, until the great day of Jesus Christ. And he's ashamed of us. But ultimately, it is not guilt and shame that is going to motivate us to take our stand for Jesus. But it's going to be the sweet and the good gospel of our salvation in Christ that inspires us like it inspired all of the heroes that we read about in Hebrews 11 today. It is Christ that moves us to take our stand just as He stood for us. The gospel in the letter of Hebrews says this, "Those whom Christ is making holy and those who are holy all have one source, and that is why He is not ashamed to call us His brothers." And again, Hebrews says, "God is not ashamed to be called our God, for He has prepared for us a city." He stood up for us. He stood in our place. And it created friction and division for Christ, and it even cost Him His life at the cross, a life given in sacrifice, that He would wipe away the record of all of the times that we did not take our stand for the Lord. And we took the easy way instead. All of that is forgiven for the sake of the blood that He shed for you. But now He says, stand up for me. It is not always going to be easy. Look at what happened to all the people in Hebrews. They were stoned. They were persecuted. They were sawn in half. It's not going to be easy. But nothing worth taking a stand for is ever easy. And when the world puts the heat to you for your faith, when standing up for Jesus creates fire and division in your relationships, and even with your loved ones closest to you, know for certain that your life comes under the blessing of Christ, who says through His apostle Peter, "If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God in that name. Let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now may the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.